Hello and welcome to the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm your host, journalist Holly Rubinstein, and here each week I'll be speaking to a very special guest about the seven chapters in their life's travel diaries. From their earliest childhood travel memory and the first place they fell in love with, to their hidden gem and what's at the top of their travel bucket list. We'll be uncovering their adventures around the world and the travel experiences and destinations that have shaped their lives. Oh, hi everyone. I hope that your week is going well. Is spring finally here? TBC, I think. It certainly wasn't when I was traveling around beautiful Portugal over the last week or so, but that didn't dampen my enjoyment of the trip. In fact, I wanted to share with you the itinerary that I put together because I think it is a really great road trip if you want to do something really manageable that worked perfect with kids, really simple. We flew into Faro in the Algarve and we spent a few nights there, you know, just relaxing. We were staying at a resort called Villa Vita Park, which I'll tell you a bit more about next season in a family travel special because it's fab for families. And you know what you're getting in the Algarve, don't you? Beautiful beaches, lovely resorts, great food, great restaurants, great views. And then from there, we drove about an hour and a half up the west coast to Comporta. So Comporta, you might have heard of, you might have read about it in the travel press as it's cited quite a lot as a real hidden gem. It's really unusual in that it's this enormous stretch of golden sand beach that feels incredibly wild and rugged and beautiful because it hasn't been allowed to be built on. There are odd beach clubs kind of dotted along, set back from the water's edge where you can grab a bite to eat, but in all, it's just very wild. To that extent, it really did live up to its hype. Comporta itself is very small, so I don't know whether you'd need a huge amount of time in Comporta, but it's a stunning environment to be based in. We stayed at Quinta da Comporta, a boutique hotel, which had been on my hotel wanna visit list for a long time. It's a lovely spot, very tranquil, looking out at rice paddy fields, because this is something that you'll see a lot of in Comporta. There are all these rice paddies populated by storks, which you'll see on every telephone pole and chimney pot. And then the rice paddies extend into the horizon. Then there is a kind of dune, I suppose, and then the beach extends beyond there. So from hotels, you don't see the water, but the outlooks are still very peaceful and bucolic. And Quinta da Comporta was a really fantastic hotel. It's a boutique property. It was about 270 a night, I think, when we stayed there. We really enjoyed the spa in the hotel, which was absolutely exceptional, I must say, in a beautiful wooden structure. It had another massive kind of barn structure where the restaurant was, with kind of freestanding wood-burning fires and sofas and an enormous outdoor infinity pool. It reminded me a little bit of Soho Farmhouse, actually, but a lot more low-key. And you can zip around on electric bikes all through the paddy fields and stuff. So it was a really cool place. And then from there, we went up to Lisbon, and that was another hour or so. And I really liked the combo of, you know, city and beach in one trip. Lisbon is obviously just such a great city. Lovely to be back there. We had our ups and downs. Our luggage didn't arrive for 3 days, so that was not ideal, but you know, you win some, you lose some, right? This is the reality of travel, and it was certainly made up for by the great food, great hospitality, and great hotels. So let's get on to today's guest. Phil Rosenthal first gained international recognition by creating the iconic TV sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond, which won 16 Emmys, and as we discuss on the episode today, 30 years later, is still a mainstay on both the US and UK TV. A self-described foodie, he's always been an ardent supporter of restaurants and food culture, and his favourite saying is that food is the great human connector. And now he's living out his dream, travelling the world and exploring different cultures one bite at a time on his hit Netflix show, Somebody Feed Phil, which is going into its 7th season, this time featuring Orlando, Scotland, Kyoto, Dubai, Washington DC, and much more. More than anything in this episode, Phil is just such an advocate for travel, for the positive power that traveling can have in broadening our perspectives on life. And he transports us today from Florence to Florida, Paris to Taipei, and much more. So buckle up and let's get started. Phil Rosenthal, welcome to the Travel Diaries. It is so great to see you today. How are you?
It's nice to meet you, Holly.
Where are you chatting to me from today?
I'm in New York to restart publicity. You're actually the first person I'm talking to.
Oh my goodness.
For publicity for the upcoming season.
I am very honored. And New York is where you grew up, right?
That's right. So I'm at home. Although my home now is a nice hotel in Midtown.
Lovely.
And in New York anyway.
And so really it naturally then takes us to the start of your travel diaries, because
yes,
today, Phil, we're going to go on a journey through the seven chapters of your life's travel diaries. And we always,
oh my goodness,
I know, it's going to be a wild ride because we've got a lot of ground to cover.
Yes.
But we start at the very beginning, and that is chapter one, which is your earliest childhood travel memory. What would that be?
We didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't go anywhere. I was, I grew up in the Bronx until I was about nine. Then we moved to a suburb of New York, and I was born in Queens. I have no memory of that. So I think my earliest travel memory might be Cape Cod, mm-hmm, in Massachusetts on the water.
Beautiful.
When I was six.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved the beach. I loved, I remember my parents took me to the drive-in movie, and I think we saw a movie called The Russians Are Coming, and a double feature with Lilies of the Field with Sidney Poitier. And I actually remember a lot of both movies because, I don't know, if you're a kid and you see a movie in a special way, it kind of really connects, right? And gets in and you don't forget it. Do you have drive-in theaters in England?
Not really. I mean, it's a bit cold for drive-in theaters, sadly.
You're right. You're right. When you see it as a kid, even older, that's a gigantic screen, bigger than a screen that has to be inside, right?
Yeah.
So you don't forget the impact of that. Plus, you're in your car. There's a speaker in the car. They give you food in the car. There's something really fun about it. And if it's a nice warm evening, you're outside the car with the speakers and it's very communal. It's like you're at a park or a festival.
So fun.
And then the first time I was on a plane, I was 9 years old. And this is now real travel. I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm, for a family occasion. And my cousins, when I got there, took my brother and I to a new thing called 7-Eleven.
The new thing. I love that.
Well, we didn't have it in New York. I think it must have started in the south of the United States. And they had a machine there that turned fruit drinks and sodas into slushy, icy drinks called a Slurpee. Do you have that?
A slush puppy.
That's it. And I saw that they could turn Coca-Cola into that. And I swear, when I had two sips of this, I said, this is why you travel. And so my love affair with travel was born.
Oh my God.
Wait, right there.
Did you say that to your parents? They must have thought that was the cutest thing.
I know I said it to myself. I said it to anyone who would listen. We got to try new things.
Yeah.
We got to do, yeah, right? I mean, yes.
Absolutely.
9 years old. This is what you like. If you turn a kid on, and you know what? 3 years later, we went to Disney World. We had one day in Disney World. We bothered our parents to take us because on the East Coast of the United States, we didn't have Disneyland until Disney World opened in Florida. So it was an easier trip. So they gave us a day, one day. And I turned to my mother, who was probably not enjoying it because it was very hot and very crowded and waiting online for everything, as you know. She turned to me at one point. She says, do you like this? And I said, this is the best day of my life. And I meant it because, again, travel, new things. If you think about it, love or hate Disney, they can awaken a sense of travel and adventure in a child.
Yeah.
You're literally going to what they're calling different lands. Tomorrowland, yeah. Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland.
We kind of scooching ahead, really, because
yes.
I was going to come on, of course, to the new series. And Orlando is one of the places that you visit.
And I tell that story at the beginning.
Yeah.
And in the episode, which we're calling The Real Orlando, because I think if you just see the word Orlando, you think you know what that show will be, a tour of the theme parks. We don't set foot in the theme parks because Orlando is the big surprise of the season. Here's what Disney did. They've been there 50 years. In those 50 years, they've employed tens of thousands of immigrants from around the world who have set up their communities all around Orlando, and with it, their cuisines and culture.
Yeah.
So it's phenomenal. It's as great a food city as any in America.
Yeah, and the food scene in Orlando has had a huge amount of publicity because the Michelin Guide has just come there, hasn't it? And there are Michelin-starred restaurants throughout Orlando
now.
And it's become a real... I actually just put out a Florida destination special of my podcast. So
you did.
Had a conversation about with somebody who lived in Orlando.
Have you explored it at all?
Not since I was a child, and not beyond the theme parks, you know?
That's right. So, but by the way, it's not just children who are missing out.
Yes, exactly. You could have an amazing vacation in Orlando as a, you know, two grown adults and experience a plethora of food culture and beautiful scenery and all kinds of amazing things. Yeah.
Yes, the Everglades are there. It's a short trip to Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
To do that, you never have to go in the theme park if you don't want to.
Yeah. Did you, in your free time while you're filming there, go on any rides?
You know, I did. they wanted me to go on, when I was scouting, actually, they made me go on the, what is it called? Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy, which is, they said, you have to do it because it's the state of the art. I said, my state of the art is I can't handle rides anymore. I used to love roller coasters till I was about 30. And then something happens, maybe in your inner ear, something happens.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like rides?
No. And I certainly feel the motion way more now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this isn't fun for me.
No.
This is
it's
and
an
the
endurance.
Moment it started, I was game. I gave it a shot. I wanted to die within 3 seconds. And then it goes on for like 2.5 minutes, which feel like 2.5 hours. And I couldn't, I really. And then they put me on Ratatouille thinking, oh, this is a kiddie ride. And it's all about food. Phil, you're going to love this ride. And I go on this ride. And again, I want to throw up because there's dips now. And it's not just like Peter Pan where it just goes nicely. You look at the scenery. Oh, there, look at that diorama. Oh, look at that. You know, it's a small world is my speed.
Yes, I was right? going to say that a small world, maybe the Dumbo ride is like the extent of what I'd go
too
for.
Too much.
Too
wild. No, we're going up,
wild.
We're going down. The kid is in charge of making it go up, but they can't get away from me. I loved it all. Until I was about 30, I think. And then, I don't know, something happened inside.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that you loved all the food in Orlando then.
Yes, outside the parks. That's where the magic. I get to say, the real Magic Kingdom is the real world outside.
Yeah. And in a way, that's quite profound.
Well, you know, it's these immigrant stories.
Yeah.
And there are too many people who want to say that immigrants are the problem. No. They're the answer. They're the answer. They've always been the answer. Our countries are built and made better by the immigrant population. Listen, my parents were immigrants. Great things come from when we, as a species, cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
Because we learn from each other and we experience. And by the way, on the most superficial level, doesn't it make life more exciting and better and less boring if we all ate the same thing and did the same thing and saw the same thing every day? Wouldn't you be bored? It's why I travel.
Yeah. And that's why you're such a passionate advocate for travel, isn't it? You've mentioned that, you know, 2/3 of Americans don't have a passport at the moment.
Yes.
And the message of your show is really to just encourage people to look beyond, right?
Yes. I call London, by the way, the gateway drug to Europe. And that's what I tell Americans. If you're
easy teaser.
A little skittish, exactly. So you're going to love it because, first of all, everybody speaks English. You don't have to worry. a beautiful place. It's fun. It's exciting. It'll be familiar to you from all the storybooks of your childhood.
Yeah.
And it's just different enough with a little bit of that European flavor that you'll want to explore more. That's why, you know, it's, listen, London is spectacular in its own right and worth going to. But what I love really is that it like in a Disneyland kind of way, it's going to awaken this sense of travel in you. Mm. And you'll want to explore more. I think anyone who lives in England is so lucky because all of Europe is at your doorstep.
Yeah. And so, Phil, we move on to chapter two.
Yes.
And that is the first place that you fell in love with.
So I, again, no money, not really getting to travel much at all. That trip to Disney World, I don't think I went anywhere until I was 23. And I got a courier flight to Europe. A courier flight meant that I could get a free flight by being a courier for DHL, meaning their cargo, before they were huge, their cargo would go as a coach passenger's excess baggage. So in other words, they buy you a coach ticket to a city that they were sending stuff to. You took the luggage tags. You got off at the other end, let's say Zurich. There was a man at the airport holding a sign that said DHL. You gave him the luggage tags. Now you're free to go and do whatever you want on your dime for 2 weeks.
What an incredible opportunity.
Until you do the same trip back to New York.
Yeah. Wow.
And you could even arrange it where your friend is doing the Tuesday flight to Zurich and you're doing the Wednesday flight to Zurich. And then you meet up and you have that time. And that's what I did with my roommate. We did that. It was his connection to the company. I guess this doesn't exist anymore. I would tell every kid in the world to do this, right on the train to Paris right away because he had a friend in Paris. We stayed on their couch. So that was the first 5 or 6 days in Paris and then an overnight train to Florence. And in the third class compartment on the sleeper car from Paris to Florence, which goes through the Alps, by the way, and is unforgettable. Imagine picture windows next to you with the Alps going by and you're having breakfast. And
And you'd been in stateside up till this point. It must have been just breathtaking.
Yes, breathtaking. A knockout. I'll never forget this first trip. I make friends with the two Italian kids, my age, boyfriend, girlfriend. They both work in her family's bakery in Florence. We stay up all night talking. They barely speak English, but we understand each other. They drew pictures in my little travel journal of what I shouldn't miss in Florence. They drew the Duomo, like I was going to miss the Duomo in Florence. But they also gave me the address to their bakery. So I went to their bakery. First thing. Because I love them. Well, I got a hero's welcome just because I was an American. The dad greeted me as if I fought in World War II.
Wow.
He was like, America, John Wayne. And he brought me everything that the bakery makes. And then his friends started coming from other places with pasta and sausages and meats. And why? Because the American boy is visiting. I'm like, what? I couldn't understand this hospitality. I fell in love with that. How could you not?
Yeah.
It was so warm and loving. I always say about Italy, it's my favorite because everywhere you look is gorgeous. Every bite of food to me is delicious there. And everyone's hugging and kissing you. So what's not to like?
Oh, exactly. It's such a special place. So Italy and that first European adventure was the first place that really took your heart.
Completely changed my life.
Yeah.
In that, two things. One, I realized this is what your money's for. This is what your spare. Yes, you have to pay your rent and you have to eat on a daily basis, but your spare money, instead of buying silly things that you don't need, save up for this.
Yeah.
Save up for this because this is the second thing and the most important thing. You know this. It changes your perspective on life. That's what you bring home with you.
I mean, that's why I do this podcast for that very reason, because And the emotive qualities of travel are second to none. I want to fast forward from your childhood and from that amazing train trip to the mid-90s, and you're in LA and you're contacted by the comedian Ray Romano's team, and he's looking to work on a comedy, right? Parts of his, many parts of his real life. I mean, as we know, the rest was history. what do you think made it such a great partnership?
We were actually both born in Queens, but, you know, he told me about his Italian family. And for every story he had, I had one about my Jewish family.
Yeah.
And so what I didn't know about the specifics of the characters in his family, I put in a lot of attributes from the characters in my family. And I created this show.
Yeah.
And we grew from, I think, my nervousness at never having created a show before and his nervousness about working with a guy who never created a show before.
Yeah.
We grew into best friends. And I learned so much from him, and maybe I was able to teach him a thing or two about the sitcom business.
Yeah.
But he's an intuitive and very natural and brilliant comedian, performer, writer, and now director.
Yeah.
He's wonderful.
And it became this mega hit, right? That I just find it so incredible that when I turn on my TV here in England, most mornings, it's still on. And this is a show that kicked off in the 90s, you know, and that is, how does it feel to be part of a culture's daily routine like that?
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Spectacular. I will say that it was the dream. It was designed that way. In the back of my head, I knew it was for CBS 9 o'clock Mondays. But in the back of my mind, it was to last forever. In other words, you can make a show that is topical and does topical jokes about the politics of the day or the celebrities of the day, but then there's a date stamp on that show. And then you're only as good as your last joke. And if you do relatable things that are timeless, maybe the show will be timeless if it's any good.
Mm.
So it was always the dream to have that happen.
Yeah. And am I right in saying that the inspiration behind Somebody Feed Phil lies in an episode of the show?
Yes. Ray didn't really travel. And when I found that out and found out why, he wasn't, you know, he just liked what he liked. He did the same vacation to the New Jersey shore every every hiatus,
as it's so easy to do, right? To just fall into what's comfortable and familiar.
That's it. I understand it. But I go, okay, we're going to do this episode. And he said, what? I said, we're going to go to Italy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very nervous about it because, first of all, he doesn't like flying. And it took me about 4 years to convince him.
No, 4 years.
To convince him to do this. And then we do it. And the arc of the character that I wrote, which was we send him over as him and he comes back as me, someone excited about travel and especially Italy. And that episode turned out very well. But beyond that, the best part was that I saw what happened to the character that I wrote. I saw happen to Ray Romano. He got it.
Yeah.
And now he goes all the time.
That's amazing.
And he's not afraid.
So not only have you instilled a love of travel in millions of viewers on Netflix, but Ray Romano as well. You changed his life in that way.
Well, when I saw that he got it, I was so happy. I'll bet you do what you do because you love turning on people to stuff you like travel.
Yeah.
So I'm the same.
Yeah.
We all are the same. We all love doing that. Who doesn't love, you know, helping someone that way. So that was in the back of my head. So after Raymond, this stayed with me, this dream of maybe I could do this for other people. And yet I thought, and everyone was telling me I should write another sitcom. Well, I tried the business changed in the 9 years that we did Everybody Loves Raymond. They didn't want that kind of show anymore, believe it or not. And so I kept striking out because that's the only kind of show I know how to do, meaning a very family-friendly, I guess you would say tame show by today's standards, meaning there's no sex or violence in it, really.
Yeah.
There's maybe a few references, but nothing that you need to worry about the kids being in the room or grandma.
Yeah, right? Suitable for breakfast TV.
Yes. Yes, you see it in the mornings there.
Yeah, we see it when we're having our bowl of cornflakes.
Isn't that nice? So, yes. Anyway, I couldn't get arrested doing that. And when I told my agents that I have this idea for a travel show, they didn't want me doing that because there's no real money in that. But I didn't care. I just thought it was very important to do. And I sold the show finally to our public broadcasting system here in the States. And I sold it with this one line. I said, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything. And so they understood the tone of the show, what my character was, all from that one line, which is true. And the only reason that I'm a little braver now is because I've done it. Because I've done 7 seasons. And you know, Holly, when you travel, it can't help but make you a little braver the more you do it, because our biggest fear is the unknown. And once you've done something, it's now known to you.
So now you're a bit braver and more intrepid with every season. I mean, the destinations that you've covered off this season are so diverse and interesting. Which was the destination that most surprised you this time around? And we mentioned Orlando.
Well, that was a very big surprise.
Yeah.
But listen, I'd never been to Kyoto. Have you been to Kyoto?
No, I would love to go. Love.
Did you happen to see that episode yet?
No, I've not. Tell me about it.
I can't wait for you to see it. Okay, so, you know, Japan was terribly bombed during World War II, but not Kyoto. So Kyoto still has over 2,000 temples and shrines that are over 1,000 years old. Mind-boggling to be walking in a city and turn the corner and see something like that. Fully realized, not just a facade, a little museum. No, giant, like with temple grounds to walk on that are impeccably kept. Everything is serene and gorgeous, like no other place I've seen in my life. I mean, I could talk this enthusiastically about every single place that we've ever done. There's something about Kyoto. My wife got to come with me on that one. Well, Kyoto for Monica and me was like a second honeymoon. It was just that beautiful. I recommend it. Mm-hmm. What I love, and I think the reason it's the most mentioned on your podcast is because I think here's a similarity. British culture likes things proper.
Yes, yes. And there's the ritual there, isn't there?
That's right. And there's no more proper place than Japan. My joke is, if you go into the pharmacy and buy a package of gum, they wrap it for you as if it's for your 100th birthday.
Yeah. That attention to detail is something that's been lost in so many other places. So it's
absolutely
a sense of wonder in everything.
Well, but everyone, human beings like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because essentially it's an act of consideration and generosity to put that level
exactly
of attention
right.
to detail in. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't really thought about it like that.
And they're the whole way of being is for the good of the community. Little children are free to walk down the streets without fear because the community looks after their children. Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine indeed.
Right?
Well, let's pause there, Phil, and move on to chapter 3, because that is the place where you learned the most about yourself. And I'd love to know what comes to mind for that.
I'll tell you something. Well, that first trip that I mentioned, I was walking down the street in Paris, and Paris is a knockout. You know, we live in cities now that have no regard for the aesthetics of design in their architecture, meaning there's no overall plan. There are cities, even where I'm sitting right now in New York, skyscrapers just going up. Why? Because someone has money to build a skyscraper. Does it go with the rest? No. And in the center of Paris, at least, there's miles and miles where there was an overall plan that was beautiful. Mm. And that is reason alone to go there, right? A city is defined by how it looks, the architecture, the iconic, you know, skyline or structures that define a place, right? I remember walking and going, look at the trees on the boulevards. Look how beautiful the trees are. Look at that thought put into that. And then I went home to my little neighborhood in Washington Heights, Manhattan, up at the northern tip of Manhattan. Certainly not a wealthy neighborhood by any stretch. But for the first time, I go, huh, we have nice trees too. Mm. Didn't appreciate them until I saw other ones somewhere else. That's what I mean by changing your perspective.
Yeah.
So that happens every time I go.
And on this season, has there been a destination that you've reflected on the most since coming back?
Yeah, Kyoto.
Yeah. That's really stuck in your mind.
I actually can't wait to go back. In fact, the first day I was there, it's indescribable the feeling when you're facing such serenity and beauty. I got sad the first day that I only have a week here.
I so know what you mean. I wonder if that's like an American Jewish thing.
No, I actually think it might be universal. And when I was looking for some way to sum up my feelings, I thought, what do the Japanese people say about Kyoto? And I found their most famous poet. It's in the show. And he wrote a little haiku that basically says, while I'm in Kyoto, I miss Kyoto. And I don't think he was an American Jewish guy. That's from the 1600s, that poem.
Really?
I
must watch that episode. I'm going to watch it as soon as we wrap up. I'm going to go watch that one.
Oh, great. But I could say something great about we go to 8 places this season, which is the most we've ever had. I do believe it's our best season because of such wonderful locations and the diversity of locations. There's Dubai, which you wouldn't expect. Big surprise there too. Mumbai, I've never been to India. Yeah. That was spectacular. Yeah. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah.
I just want people to watch.
Yeah. Well, chapter 4 of your travel diaries, Phil, is the big one. Your all-time favorite destination.
Italy.
And in particular, a place in Italy?
No, I love the whole thing. I love Florence. I love Venice. I love the Lake District. I love the Amalfi Coast. Oh, my goodness. Mm. And there's parts I haven't seen yet. I haven't even been to Sicily yet. I haven't been to Puglia.
Oh, I was in Puglia last year. And it is so beautiful and so different to the rest of Italy.
Yes.
So that will be such an exciting experience for you because it's such a contrast. Oh yeah, the food there is so different. Really, really interesting to discover. And in fact, Italy is full of hidden gems. Chapter 5
yes.
is your hidden gem. So of all these places that you've had the chance to experience, where is a place that you have fallen in love with that maybe my listeners wouldn't know so much about?
Taipei, the best street food in the world.
Yeah.
I dream about this one. Do you remember this little scene where in the morning I went to this lady who had a cart and she was making fresh scallion pancakes in her cart, okay, in the oil. And next to the dough with the scallions, she cracks 2 eggs in that oil. And then takes the scallion pancake, drops the 2 eggs in there, and then puts a spicy sauce and a savory sauce inside, rolls it up, and gives it to you like a breakfast wrap. I could have that every day. Just that. And then there's millions of street foods like that that are so fun and so easy. And it's a really fun city. And then you go just outside the city, and this is spectacular landscape and gorgeous places to visit, all with their own markets, day and night, where you can get food like this.
Today's episode is supported by Chitalia. And you can discover the real Italy with Citalia because they are the UK's leading Italian holiday specialists. They have been helping guests discover the best of Italy for 95 years. Maybe you've been inspired to book your own trip to Italy, having heard the lovely Phil today picking Italy as his all-time favourite destination, citing so many areas that he loves, from Florence, the Amalfi Coast, and places he hasn't yet been to, like beautiful Puglia. If you're tempted to book your own trip, then Citalia's team of Italy experts can help make that happen. They are there to create your perfect stay. All bookings are backed by Citalia's Travel with Confidence promise, which gives a refund guarantee, free amendments, and free cancellation up to 3 weeks before departure. So go on, discover the real Italy with Citalia, the UK's leading Italian holiday specialists. Head to citalia.com, that's C-I-T-A-L-I-A.com, to find out more. Thank you to Citalia.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Today's episode is supported by Airbnb. It has been a long old winter here in the UK, and in between podcast seasons, I'm going to take a little bit of downtime to seek out some warmth. I'm jetting off to the Greek island of Mykonos, visiting some places that have been on my bucket list. And while I'm hopefully soaking up some Mediterranean sun, my home will be hosting guests from all over the world, thanks to Airbnb. It's the perfect way to make your travels even more rewarding. Instead of letting your home sit empty while you're off exploring new destinations, why not turn it into a cozy retreat for fellow travelers, just like I do? Whether you choose to rent out your entire space or just a spare room, it's up to you. I list my spare bedroom, and it's been a fantastic experience, both financially rewarding and a great way to connect with new people. So if you're planning your own summer getaway, or any trip for that matter, consider putting your home on Airbnb. It's a fantastic way to earn extra income that can go towards your travel expenses, souvenirs, or even that special treat you've been eyeing. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb for supporting the Travel Diaries. And you mentioned about the scripts, Phil, about, you know, that the right one didn't come out, you know, but have any of the travel experiences you've had working on this show generated little ideas for maybe a future script?
You mean for a sitcom?
Yeah.
I can't say that it has. I've enjoyed every episode that we've made just as what it was intended to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I haven't seen further than this purpose, which to me is enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's the dream gig. I imagine all of your friends are just saying, like, how did this come about? I mean, you are so lucky.
Yeah, it took 10 years is how it came about.
Yeah, he persevered.
And if you asked me if it was worth it, I would say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And listen, you can do it if you're willing to make it a priority in your life. You can do anything, I think. Are you willing to make your dream come true as a priority in your life and devote, let's say, 10 years to trying to make it and failing most of the time until someone says yes? I think it applies to everything.
Now, I know that you're known, and we know you, for being such a positive person and exuding such a positive energy. Our penultimate chapter is chapter 6, and that is your worst travel experience or the place that you'd never go back to. Is there something that comes to mind?
No. There are places that aren't as exciting as others. There are places, and I don't need to name them, but that are kind of nondescript and, you know, don't really have that much to offer. Although I will say, food-wise, I think you can get a great meal anywhere now, which I attribute to the internet.
Yeah.
You know, a kid in Idaho can see what a chef in Paris is doing and emulate it. And everybody is using around the world as fresh and local ingredients as they can. And there are local specialties that after years and years of civilization, they've mastered, right? So I just think nowhere is without value.
Well, our final chapter, Phil, is chapter 7, and that is the destination at the top of your travel bucket list, somewhere that you've not been that you're desperate to discover.
So many. First of all, I've never been to Shanghai. I've never been on the show to Australia, although I just did my live tour there where I speak to audiences, and that's gorgeous. Have you been there?
No, it's a long way and I'm dying to go one day. I've got a baby at the moment, so maybe when she's a little bit older.
How old is your baby?
She's 15 months.
Oh boy, you're busy.
I'm surprised
you have time for me here. Oh. That's nice. By the way, we took our kids when they weren't even three. Lily wasn't even three yet and Ben wasn't even six yet. First place we took them internationally was Venice, which I recommend. Because all the cars are boats. And it is a lot like the It's a Small World ride, except everyone waving to you is Italian.
And handsome and wearing a beautiful hat and a lovely t-shirt.
The kids loved it.
Did they?
And that's a great, you know, intro to travel right there.
100%. So Australia, we're going to maybe see coming up.
Yeah,
Shanghai.
Yes.
Maybe Puglia.
Do you know I haven't been to San Sebastian in Spain yet?
Oh, it's amazing.
Which is the food capital of the world, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't been there.
Yeah. So are you just busy with your iPhone notes kind of making a dream wish list and making it happen for next season? Is that how it works?
I don't know if there's a next season.
All right. But there will be. Fingers crossed.
Every year is I have to wait and see. There's no guarantees in show business. And with streaming services now, it's very different than the way it was. In old school television, like when we did Everybody Loves Raymond, if it worked, they wanted as many episodes as possible. But now on streaming services, they can have a few episodes and say, that's enough. We have it forever. So it'll always be here. It's like a library. It's always on the shelf if you want it. They don't need many episodes because there's no like future where it's playing on your local station at breakfast in England.
Yeah. Well,
it's just on all the time. Everyone is on all the time. And there's millions and millions of shows. So the competition is fierce.
I guess the collective we have loved watching you travel around the world. And it's been heartwarming and just really like nourishing and lovely. So I've really enjoyed chatting to you today. And
I love talking to you, Holly. I hope we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, I'd love that.
I'm the luckiest guy you're ever going to talk to. That's how I feel.
Oh, that's so lovely. Those were your travel diaries, Phil Rosenthal. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
Oh, that was a lovely, heartwarming chat. Thank you to Phil for joining me all the way from NYC. I hope our paths cross again one day. You can watch the new season of Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix now. And he's also published a children's book that he co-created with his daughter Lily called Just Try It. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe, or if you use Apple Podcasts, to press follow so that a new episode lands in your podcast app each week. If you want to be the first to find out who is joining me on next week's episode, come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein, and you'll also find me on Threads and TikTok. I'd love to hear from you. And if you can't wait till then, remember there's the first 10 seasons to catch up on. That's over 115 episodes to keep you busy there. Don't forget that all the destinations mentioned by my guests are included in the episode show notes here on your podcast app and listed on my website, thetraveldiariespodcast.com. Thanks again, everyone. Take care, and I'll be back next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.